Hi, this is Laurel. Welcome to the Laurel Langmire Show. It's great to be back with you here on Monday, the beginning of August. And as we come live to you now, I mean, Turnaround 2010 is clearly underway. We are slowly seeing some of the economic variables be changing. There are new lending laws that are affecting your ability to get loans. There was completely an ability to get loans before. Tough to get for those who have hit the, I call it the BK button, the bankruptcy button, and those of you who hit the foreclosure button. Of course, without credit, you're not going to get a loan. That's just the normal news and should stay the normal news. So your job now is to get really creative in this real estate space. The prices are still low. There are several markets that is just extraordinary buying right now. And with the new lending law, the new financial laws that are just passing, as regulation starts to see a turn, there's more and more opportunity. FHA's got a standard fix, 4.25. I mean, there are places to get loans if you have credit and money. And, you know, way back in the day, about 3 years ago, when you put 20% down and you fixed your notes, you wouldn't get into the trouble that we got into. So go back to some normal lending practices, partner up with money, partner up with credit, however you need to get it done, but don't pass this opportunity of getting into the real estate market. It's extraordinary right now. You talk about buying low and watching it rise high in the next few years is going to be incredible, incredible transfer of wealth. The commercial market has not seen the beginning yet. I think that as we watch more and more of the commercial loans come due because of the way they got financed during the wild, unregulated days, if they cannot find a way to get either reconstituted in a new loan, you're going to see a huge, huge swing of commercial real estate taking a turn to different owners. And we're going to pick them up in short sales. We're going to pick them up off the bank. We're going to pick them up on auction steps. So however you get it, whether it's commercial real estate or residential real estate, you got to get in the game, folks. The lending laws have opened up a little, and you want to pay attention to what's going on out there. If we watch unemployment, it's not really moving much, you know, and my goal is to keep you unemployed and get you into a business. So if you are still questioning, what am I going to do to make some more money, and how do I put more cash in my pocket, how do I not go back and have to stand in line for a potential pink slip, and really this time around start your entrepreneurial venture, make sure you email us over at strategy@liveoutloud.com. We'll talk to you about several strategies we're using for thousands and thousands of people that are not going back to the employment lines, they're going to the entrepreneurial lines, which are going to create more money for you moving forward no matter what. So a couple other topics and facts that are underway out in the news and what's going on is a merger surge on the way. The European investors would like to think so, judging from the $841 billion they're pouring into an event-driven hedge fund since January. The funds will invest in stocks and take over targets, says the Financial Times. So I think there's a lot of mergers that are going to go on. We just watched Continental United do a major merger. Google and Microsoft are constantly out in the space looking for technical purchases. I'm understanding Salesforce is merging. I know some private groups that are merging right now, taking two or three technologies, blending it together, and really going to target the entrepreneurial market. Also, the network marketing market. We're seeing a lot of mergers happening over there, a lot of takeovers happening over there. So I think the mergers, I call it collaboration. I think there's a lot of collaborative mergers that are going to be taking over where people with different strengths, different companies with different strengths. So some companies have the ability to market and sell. Others have the ability to really provide fulfillment and great back-end technologies. I think we're going to see more and more of those merge in the coming days. And if you are on standing on other side of that and you have something, see if you can merge with somebody else. See if you can joint venture with someone else. Somebody is doing something bigger and better in the space where you are. And again, the three words that I think are part of the turnaround 2010 is collaboration, which is mergers. I think there's a huge adaptability. Adaptability meaning speed. And that is part of a merger and acquisition strategy because you create a lot more speed with a lot more talent and a lot more technology. And the other one is flexibility. Some of you are still stuck in what you did in the 2004, 5, 6, and 7 days. And prior to 2008 and 9, that might have worked, but it's not working now. I can tell you engineering, consulting, and construction. Those are three massively changed markets. And if you have not changed your business model, you're going to be stuck way behind. In fact, you're already so far behind everyone else who's into the collaboration, who's into flexibility, and really moving ahead, merging, taking control of your profits and putting them where they need to be. And for many of you, you're going to be working on a team. So that requires you, Lone Rangers, who are watching my show, to start teaming up with people who get it going. So again, strategy@liveoutloud.com is always an email that you can send to us. We would love to help you figure out a strategy to move your business into more profits, not go back and get a fixed income job, and really help move forward into this turnaround, because there is a new set of rules. And as we finish out the year in 2010, we're going to be bringing to you more new rules of operating in 2010. What's it going to be like? What's going to be required of you as a business owner to really move forward and make the kind of money that's available to you in these new market segments? And of course, being global is a huge piece of it. So later in the show, we're going to be talking about some websites to monitor your children's internet. We're also going to be talking about Bing and Google. Bing and Google are on a race for the features and who's going to get the most traffic, and a few other factoids that are coming live. I'm going to come back to some of the lending that I talked about earlier, because if the government doesn't shift and the banks don't shift to allow lending, companies like Sam's, Walmart, Costco, and other very liquid companies are going to come forward in the private space and offer lending. It's going to really, really create an interesting marketplace. I'm excited about it personally. It's a sign of true capitalism. And more on that on the Laura Langmuir Show as you continue to watch coming up. As always, I bring a guest to the Laura Langmuir Show. They're an entrepreneur. They know how to do what they're doing, and they're bringing you great content and some insights on what you can do based on their experience of being an entrepreneur in this new market called 2010 Forward. So today I have with me Danny Kofke. Danny Kofke is currently he's a special education teacher in Georgia. He's taught kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. His love of teaching has led him to write a book called How to Survive and Perhaps Thrive on a Teacher's Salary. So Danny brings a very different perspective because he does have a job, and he's one of those kinds of jobs that I think America, like other countries, completely undervalue, underpay the very people who are creating our next generation. So I have a huge opinion about that, because it's people like Danny who have stayed and been a teacher for 10 years, proud to say his passion for the craft keeps him in the classroom. Smart savings and basic understanding of financial principles have kept him and his wife willingly at home with their children. And many find it hard to believe that one teacher can support a family of four, but How to Survive gives you those tips. So unlike me, who's way out pushing you to quit his job, Danny's one of those I'd support to keep his job, but how to put more cash in his pocket. So Danny's with us today. He's been featured in USA Today, Instructor Magazine, CBS Money Watch, and Fox Business, Wall Street Journal, ABC News, and more. So, Danny, welcome to the Laura Langmuir Show.
Laura, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you here. Can I have a volume turned up just a little, Ken, on your side? Are you there, Danny?
Yes, I am.
There you go. So, Danny, tell us first, why did you write the book? Because you're one of those guys who, thank God, you know, you're helping create our next generation in education. So tell us a little bit why you created the book, because there's an entrepreneur in you, I can tell, because nobody just goes out and writes a book for the heck of it.
Right. Well, you know, and it is. I mean, now the book I can kind of gear even towards small business owners, especially at the beginning. But the primary reason why I wrote the book, and this was a few years ago, was there was a study done by the National Education Association that showed that 50% of teachers quit the profession within 5 years, and that was partially due to a low pay. But yet there was a general social survey done that showed that teaching ranks among the top 10 most gratifying jobs. And I just, you know, kind of wanted to show, you know, at that time, especially teachers, that, you know, you can still be a teacher and do okay financially. And then when the economy started to tank, I thought, you know what, maybe I can even extend it out, not just to teachers, but to those other professions, your firefighters, your nurses, police officers, who, unfortunately, I mean, they're not paid well. And most
That's
people
right.
get into those professions because first and foremost they have a passion for it. And I mean, it's hard to complain right now because I know a lot of people are struggling, and people would love to make, you know, a teacher's salary or what a police officer makes, but you know, usually when times are good, most people agree, you know, that a police officer doesn't make a lot of money, and most people don't get in, you know, to become a teacher to say, gosh, I'm going to become rich, I'm going to make, you know, $300,000 a year. Doesn't happen. You can become wealthy over time, and you can do okay financially as the years go on, but you know, first and foremost, you get into those types of professions because you have a passion for it.
And so, Danny, in your book, are you, I would assume a lot of your savings tips and some of the keeping the money is a lot of your message versus how much in the book are you talking about generating new money? Because I want to brainstorm that with you, because that's a whole nother way to play, you know, which is a lot of my conversation, which is generate more money, have a tutoring business on the side. I know a lot of our teachers that are doing music have actually, they do have a music teaching business on the side now, and they're generating more money is another way to play the game. But talk a little bit about, right, you know, your survival tips too.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that, you know, to do well, I mean, I have tutored in the past with, you know, with some of my students, and that brings in additional money. Mm-hmm. My wife was a teacher and now is a stay-at-home mom. And being a former teacher, she has the skills, you know, to take care of children. So she occasionally will watch children to add extra income, you know, to our salary. She's very crafty, so she actually makes banners and things and sells them to friends. So we do generate a little more income. You know, a lot of, you know, for us, it's, you know, sweating the small stuff. And we just, you know, sacrifice some and don't have a brand new car and don't live in a 5,000 square foot house. But, you know, we live a life that we feel comfortable with and that we enjoy. I love going to my job. And I know there are other jobs out there, yep, right now that I, you know, could quit teaching and make more money. And I've been there and I've done that. And I didn't like it as much. I just enjoy being in the classroom. And Tracy enjoys being a stay-at-home mom. So, you know, we just kind of make it work. And we all we can to keep us in the current situation that we are in.
So what are your top, say, you know, 3 to 5 tips for those that are in teacher jobs, like you said, firefighting jobs, police force jobs, you know, a lot of the kind of standard jobs that really support the community base. What are some tips that you'd give them right now and things that they can do to have life be more comfortable for them? Part of what I also want you to remind them of is exactly what you've just said. And if folks watching didn't really hear that, is, you know, you're designing the life that works for you. And I think there's a lot of people who forgot what they chose and have become a victim to what it is. Don't you think that's part of it, is just deciding that this is what I want and I'm okay with it, right? I mean, isn't that a big piece of just psychologically just deciding?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, we never deny ourselves, Tracy or myself. I mean, if I want to drive a Mercedes or she wants to go buy a pair of shoes or do this, we say we can do that, but this is what's going to have to happen. Either A, I'm going to have to get out of teaching and get a higher paying job. B, I'm going to have to get a second job and never see my family. Or C, Tracy's going to have to go back to work. And so far in the last 5 years, no materialistic thing has outweighed what we're doing right now. So, you know, it's just one of those things, and I think it's a big point of being content. And I think when you're able to have a job that you are content with, or a life that you're content with, that, you know, some of those things that we were pressured to buy by friends, by media, whatever, they don't mean as much. And I think, you know, you hit it right there. I think so many people have fallen into that trap, and that's why we're in the economic mess that we are in as a country, is that people, you know, a lot of it is emotional. I think people, it's whether you're spiritually unhappy, you're unhappy at your job, your marriage, whatever, but I think most people go and buy things to give themselves that temporary feeling of happiness that goes away shortly after that purchase becomes old, and then they're stuck in a cycle where they constantly have to buy something to give themselves that false sense of happiness. So I think, you know, it's great when you do have a job that you do enjoy and that you feel passionate about. You don't always need outside forces to make you feel that sense of satisfaction.
So what are a couple other tips? So obviously, be a choice about, you know, what you're doing and why you're doing it. What other tips would you give those that are watching that are in those categories, just to help them move ahead and survive? What are some of your survival tips?
One of the things is, I mean, you know, you have to know how you're spending your money. I mean, first and foremost, if you don't know how you're spending your money, how can you have it work for you? And obviously, having a house you can't afford, or driving, you know, a fancy car that you shouldn't be driving, that's a given. It's going to get you into trouble. But especially for people in my profession, similar salary, I think it's those day-to-day purchases that get us into trouble, because we just don't realize how much money we're spending. Yep. And just an easy example, let's just say during the course of a work week, you go out to lunch every day, $5 a pop. You're probably not going to miss $5, not a lot of money, probably not even going to think twice about it. But if you add that up, that's $25 a week, that's $100 a month, there's $1,300 a year. $1,300 a year on a teacher's salary can go a long way. So that's something I encourage people to do, is just track your spending. And this might be hard to do, but for 1 month, walk around with a piece of paper and a pencil and write down everything you spend. Then at the end of the month, you're able to analyze, oh my goodness, we went to the movies four times this month, or we did this, because most of us in our lives, we do spend money that we don't realize we're spending.
Yep.
And at least if you're able to see it, it's written down, numbers aren't going to lie to you, then you can start working on cutting out the unnecessary purchases in your life and in turn put more money in your wallet.
And so give us one more survival tip.
And so, then another big thing, I think, you know, and this doesn't work for everyone, but it definitely helped Tracy and myself when we first got married. After we did that for a month and found out how much we needed, every Friday we would go to the ATM machine and we pulled out the exact amount we needed for the week in cash. We use cash only. And, you know, I know a lot of people, it might not work for them, but it worked so well for us because it prevented us from making those spontaneous buys. For most people, if you have the green stuff, it's a lot harder to spend than swiping a piece of plastic through a machine. So we spent less money because of the emotional attachment, but better yet, we also had a set amount that we were allowed to spend. And let's just say if it got to be the next Wednesday and we wanted to go out to dinner, but we didn't have any cash left, well, guess what? We're going to eat cereal, we're going to eat leftovers, whatever. We're going to have to wait till Friday rolls around before we're able to spend more money and get more cash out. Not saying it's easy and it's going to be very difficult at first, but it helped us get control over how we were spending our money. And a lot of those purchases, you know, that I mentioned before that people make without thinking twice about, sometimes when you use cash, it prevents them because you give it a second thought as opposed to swiping a piece of plastic through a machine.
And so, Danny, what are some of the most important messages you're hoping that others really are going to receive from your book?
I just want to give them a sense of hope. You know, in today's times in the media, and I know bad news sells, but we're constantly hearing how tough times are and how difficult it is to figure out financial matters. And I know for some people they are, but I think bad news brings a lot of people down and they'll say, gosh, if this guy can't do it, well, then there's no sense. I can't even try because I can't figure it out. And I just kind of want to give some people hope and show them that if this 34-year-old school teacher can do well financially, can have his wife stay at home, have no debt, and can pretty much figure it out, then you can too.
Yeah, I would agree. So, the economy is a massive, downer. I mean, I won't name all the news shows because you've been on them. It sounds like you've been on them. I'm on them all the time as well. Where is the silver lining? Again, giving them hope, giving them some tips. Talk a little bit about your book. How are you getting your book out? How are you getting the word out? I mean, clearly you were able to get on some really great news shows. So for those that are watching, we have a lot of entrepreneurs watching. You know, how do you get a book out and get on a lot of the news shows that you've been able to get on? You've done a great job of promoting your book.
Well, thank you. I think I was lucky in the fact that the economy did kind of tank, because this is a silver lining, I think. I think people are willing to listen to a different message because, for a lot of us, I could have preached, you could have preached 5 years ago the same thing that you're preaching right now, but people weren't listening because what they were doing was fine. It hadn't affected them yet. They were, my house is going to go up 10% every year. I'm going to constantly refinance. I'm going to tap it. And bam, here we go. Now we blow it up. Yep. And a lot of people are struggling, so they're willing to make a change. And that's what happens, I think, a lot of times is that, until something happens to us personally, that's when we're willing to go ahead and try something different. And I think that's what happened, with my story, is that people, I think, were at least willing to try something different because obviously what they were doing, wasn't working. And I do think that, I try to be optimistic. And I do, in the short term, I think the economy is bad. I think it's horrible. I feel badly for a lot of people. But in the long term, my hope is that people learn from this. You go back to people that went through the Great Depression. They may not live in a 10,000 square foot house. They may not drive a Rolls Royce, but most of them have money in the bank that they're prepared for a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever. They have money to take care of themselves in case something happens because they went through tough times. They knew what it was like to have to stand in line to get their food and, not have any money. And I think that's just my hope right now is that people are learning this and they're thinking, I'm 34. In my generation, we've never had a time like this. And I think we've always thought our houses will go up. Everything will appreciate. I'll always get a raise. Right. My job is always secure. And you know what? Those rainy days come and you need that umbrella. And I think, it's my hope that people learn from this time and never put themselves, especially those people that are struggling and have, hit hard times, but they're so strong right now, they're thinking, I'm never going to allow myself to be in that position again. And from this day forward, they make smarter financial decisions.
Well, I think there's so much a piece of what the lesson of the last 2 years and 2.5 years has been. It's about personal responsibility. And, you know, for those who are listening that, you know, the content and choosing what you want is critical, whether you're choosing, you know, my fast entrepreneurial route or you're going to live, you know, with what you're chose to live on, which is a fixed income. And I think there's very few people who will choose a fixed income and then be content. So I appreciate that you're giving that message because it's very rare. And because all of the people that I'm typically talking to are very victim to it. It's like, well, this is what I have to do. And I always say, you know, unless you're willing to choose, you know, choose that it's what you want and you're not willing to move ahead. And if you want what you're going to want, if you want more income than that, then you've got to create more cash. So, you know, folks right. like you, and you already know the ways to do it, which is tutoring and, you know, creating more opportunities for more people to make more money. I mean, with both of your skill sets, you guys could do homeschooling. You could do date. I mean, there's so many cash machine opportunities. It's whether you want to take on that life or not. And so I appreciate that there's a choice. Now, I understand you're going to give some free books away. So if people want to email you, where do you want them to email you, Danny, if they want to get some books and be in more conversation with you?
Yeah, you can just actually, if you go to my blog page, it's www.dannykoffke.blogspot.com. So that's dannykoffke.blogspot.com. There's a direct link on there to shoot me an email, and you shoot me an email, and we can talk some. So it'd be great.
That's great. And so what's next for you? You're going to keep pushing the book. I'm sure it's out on a lot of the other channels through Amazon and other places. So what's next for the book? I mean, what's your vision for the book? If you had the ideal vision for what this book's going to create, what is it that you want? So we can put that intention out.
Yeah, it's already created some opportunities. I'm actually with a few guys in my county. We're actually able to go around and speak to some school districts and different teachers, and it's kind of getting bigger and bigger. But like I said, just to kind of give people hope. I mean, the people I'm presenting with, they're not in the teaching industry. They're in investments and insurance and everything. But I can kind of come in and wrap it up and just, you know, I know what teachers go through. I walk the walk. I live the life. And, you know, that is my hope, is just over the time, my book as a platform just leads to, you know, helping people and giving them some hope in these tough times and empowering them to be able to take control of their lives, make choices, and to, you know, become better with their money. Because when you give people that and they're able to handle their finances, you know, you can almost do anything. Most people in life, their dreams and hopes, they revolve around finances. You know, no matter what your dream is, usually you need money to accomplish it. And then when you can kind of start taking that on to handle your finances better and start living the life that you want to live, that's priceless.
I would agree. Danny, it's been great to have you here on the Laurel Langmire Show. Thanks for being on. And again, we'll be posting our podcast of all of this up on our blog, also syndicating out to the channels. You can get on iTunes, you can get on laurelradio.com, and you can link over again Danny Kofke at blogspot.com. We'll be noting that on our site as well, so you can get back in touch with you and talk to you directly, Danny, as our folks are listening.
Cool. Thanks so much for having me on, Laura.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
So there is one, which many of you that are watching that are on our watch all the time know that I'm always pushing for new entrepreneurial money. And it's a very rare person that will say, you know what I'm doing on my fixed income is what I'm doing and what I like my life and I have it the way that I want. And so I appreciate that Danny was on. And for those that are in what I'd call community service, because really teachers are a community service role that we have to have, as well as firemen and policemen and many others that are necessary to keep our communities moving. They can choose to make more money. We're going to teach them how to do that. And they can choose to have it their way. But the whole key for me is, are you a choice or are you a victim to it? All right. So again, Danny Kofke, K-O-F-K-E is how you spell his last name. So you can go get his book and follow up for more survival tips. Let's go back to some topics and factoids going on right now today in the news. If you've been watching, BP says they're going to stay until it's all over. The interviews that are going on a lot of media and internet outlets are challenging if that's so or not. You knew, and everybody that watches and has seen any sort of incident like this happen, of course the CEO had to be replaced because, you know, they got to, you know, at least handle that from a political standpoint, whether that was needed to happen or not. So we'll see what the new guy in charge is going to be doing. We'll see if he's actually going to stay tuned. But I'll tell you, the entrepreneurs that are affected on the Gulf shores of from the Florida coast to the Texas coast are in amazing, amazing, amazing pain. I mean, some of them have relied on those Gulf waters to be clear and clean so they can fish. The fishing industry has taken an enormous beating, all the way up to the casinos, who actually have beachside, you know, bars and restaurants and casino parties. I mean, all of them are taking an enormous financial beating. It'll be interesting to see what's going to be held accountable, what BP is going to be accountable for. On one hand, you hear that they're going to write the whole thing off as a big incident and walk away from it. On the other hand, you see a lot of media that they're going to stay right there next to those entrepreneurs and help them rebuild. I'm leaning towards the first comment, to probably see what's really going to happen. And a lot of those people are going to have very little, if any, recourse, unfortunately. Let's see how that plays out. The biggest defaulters of mortgages are the wealthy people who took out huge loans to buy big mansions. They assumed they could sell at a profit. More than 1 in 7 homeowners with loans in excess of $1 million are seriously delinquent, compared to 1 in 12 that are bought below the $1 million mark, says the New York Times. So it's going to be interesting to see, because I also think, and one of my dear friends, Harry Dent, who's a world-leading economist, says that these big McMansions, he calls them, are going to become assisted living facilities. I also think that a lot of community college dorm areas and student areas are going to become assisted living facilities. As the baby boomers get older, there's not enough places to live. You got to say, what's going to happen with the McMansions? The other thing that I'm seeing is commercial real estate owners repurposing a lot of these McMansions and renting out rooms. So not renting the whole house, but renting out rooms for $300 to $700 per room, depending on the view of the room and the size of the room, and making it cash flow that way. So it's going to be interesting to see the repurposing of a lot of this U.S. real estate across the country. Let's talk about China. China is in the mining industry. I'll tell you, China consistently buys its coal and a lot of its minerals from Australia. There's been interesting dynamic between China and Australia, and Australia wanting to tax the mining industry. China quickly bailed back and said and took billions of dollars out of the market. And I don't know that it's going forward, but we're going to watch. To fuel the economy, though, and the demand for electricity, China this year will mine and burn 50% of the coal produced throughout the world. So China, something to stay tuned and watch as we are looking for a more environmentally friendly world. And yet China, with very little environmental regulation, is burning more of, you know, our commodities, more of our, you know, world resources than the rest of the world produced overall. 69% of American adults say they would get cosmetic surgery if it was not an issue. That's an interesting one. Again, America can't even talk about it. As I mentioned before earlier in the show, Sam's Club, if you are a member of Sam's Club and Walmart, it is testing small $25,000 or less small loans to business owners. The loans will be made at by Superior Financial, which is it's a leading small business administrative lender. So it'll be interesting to see what the qualifications for those are. Well, I would love to hear personally, if you've gone out and tried to get a Costco, Walmart, Sam's loan, and if you've gotten one, gosh, I'd love to have you on the show. And if you've had a horrible experience trying to get through, I'd love to have you on the show. I want to know what's going on. I'm hearing about it, but I'm not having any students of ours go out and actually attempt to get the loan. And what I'm mostly curious about is not necessarily the fees and the interest rates. I'm curious what kind of a business it's going to take. What kind of business plan? What kind of revenue is going to attract those kind of loans that they're actually going to release the cash? Because I think that's an interesting little category. Those are very small loans, and typically people applying for those kind of loans have no business experience. So really, are we going to release funds to people without any business experience? It's going to be an interesting one to watch. 4 of the world's top 10 banks, as measured by the market value, are the Chinese. In 2000, none of the banks on the top 10 list were Chinese. Now 4 of the top 10 world's banks are from China. Again, it's becoming a world power. We're seeing it. And they're going to consistently buy our U.S. real estate unless you Americans get to the playing field, figure out your finances, which is why I have somebody like Danny on the show, because some of you got to get back to the basics. You're not even tracking your spending. You're still using credit cards, which I'm a fan as long as you pay it off every month. But you have one of two ways to play this game. You can save your way to success, not usually my favorite, or you can create your way, which is get to the playing field, start making some money, which means you got to sell something. All right. So what else? 1/3 of American workers say they're going to look for a job once the economy gets better. Again, to our grand, arrogant, and entitled American culture, and I'm one, so I get to speak my piece about it. 48% plan to get a job, have lost trust in their employers. I would say they're the best of the best survived the layoffs. So what are you going to do to turn it around and contribute to the employers of America instead of say, I'm entitled to be employed and receive insurance and 401ks and all of that? I think the game is very different. The traditional day of the employee sitting back and having it happen for them is going to be very different. I think the intrapreneur is where we're going as part of the collaboration that's happening in the 2010 rules. And again, between now and the rest of this year, we're going to bring forward a bunch of rules. We'll bring forward. Oh, I have some really good ideas. I'm just thinking I'll have to brainstorm with our team. Because I think the intrapreneur are those who are not only going to be rehired, they're the ones that retain the jobs, they're the ones that are performing for the companies. And not to say there's not a lot of great talent on the street, but I think there's a lot of great talent on the street. And those who are going to be rehired are those who bring value to the companies to create more cash and more profitability so there's more to share. So stay tuned as we watch that turn and unemployment start turning under the 10% mark. We're still well above 10%. So we'll see if, when and how that occurs and who's getting rehired. And I would think that's going to pick up. If you haven't heard, which I think you probably have, that the unemployment benefits have been turned off. The faucet is off. So those who have been sitting back enjoying doing nothing on unemployment benefits, it is no longer going to be maintained going forward. So those who have been living on government assistance for quite a while and their past employer's assistance, no longer. It's been turned off. As well, the new home buyer assistance for the homes have been turned off. So there's no more an $8,000 credit for new home buyers. So as the incentives to create an economy have been turned off, people really have got to become resourceful. So you're either going to pick up the ball, get an entrepreneurial role, which is create something. There's a ton of problems to solve as this economy turns around. So what are you going to do to solve them? That's where you got to be thinking as an entrepreneur. So you've been listening to the Laurel Langmire Show. Again, I would love to have some of you on. If you are attempting to get loans, I would love to have a show featuring some of you who are having a great time, easy time getting loans. Those of you who are struggling, because there is a formula that is working and many, many people are getting loans right now in today's economy. What's the formula? We're going to bring it forward on the next few shows of the Laurel Langmire Show, as well as we'll be bringing back more guests. And I'm going to focus my guests on our alumni. We just got back from Salt Lake City, Park City area. We had a huge event with our graduates. And I'll tell you, there are so many thriving graduates that are producing books, that are providing amazing service. We have several that have hit a million mark in 9 months in a 2009 economy. Yes, you can still become a millionaire in this economy, and there are so few people who believe it. Selling used cars is a huge phenomenon. So we're going to have Danny in our show. So we have a lot of great shows coming up on the Laurel Langmire Show. We want you to stay tuned as we also unveil a brand new newsletter, which is going to be featuring our Laurel Langmire Show. So we want more and more of you to be participating and contributing to the Laurel Langmire Show. So let us know what you need. In fact, Ken, let's send out a survey in the next few weeks as we're reconstituting the Laurel Langmire Show. And we want more of your input. All right, so stay tuned. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Talk to you then.